You have to feel sorry for James, the brother of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's often wrongly attributed by saying that life is all about work and about doing things rather than simply speaking things. What he actually says is, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, do what it says. And we have to do both. We have to speak the word and do what it says. We have to listen to God's word and not deceive ourselves, but do what it says. And we thank God for James, the brother of our Lord Jesus Christ, the earthly brother, who was one of his disciples, who knew all about Jesus, and still was able to call him his Lord and God. Well, this morning we're starting a short summer series on stewardship. Some time ago, the moderator in the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland asked all congregations to undertake a stewardship campaign beginning in year one with the theme of money, about our giving financially. Of course, we've just made our offering. And Scripture says, of course, that God blesses a cheerful giver. And it's important that we give of not just our money, but our time and our talent as well. So this morning I thought what we'd begin to do in these summer months is have a brief overlook at the whole theme of stewardship, and then we'll focus in on some of these other aspects in the coming weeks. Christian stewardship, of course, is the response which both the church and individuals are called to make to God for all that God has given us and done for us as our Creator and our Saviour. And that's a very tidy definition of what Christian stewardship is, but this morning, at the start of these special services on the theme of stewardship, I want to take just a few minutes to unpack that statement so that we can all reflect on the challenge that Christian stewardship lays before us. Christian stewardship, the response which the church and individuals are called to make to God for all that God has given us and done for us as our Creator and Saviour. Well, when we think of these words, stewardship and steward, what might first come to our mind is the idea of a person who administers someone else's property or house or finances. Someone like the Queen, for instance, will have a steward who is responsible for the day-to-day running of Balmoral Castle and Holyrood House and all her other properties. Museums and art galleries in the cities across this country and all around the world will have someone who acts as the curator, a person who is charged with the responsibility of caring for works of art and other treasures which these museums and galleries contain. And today it's very common for people, even people of modest means, to have someone who acts as their financial advisor, giving advice on pensions and investments, perhaps how to operate a bank account or run a household budget. And if you've ever been part of a trade union, you will have had a shop steward, someone who was elected to represent the workers in a shop or a factory or an industry. And so when we speak of steward or stewardship, these are terms that we're quite familiar with from our day-to-day experience of life and work. And what does it mean when we speak of Christian stewardship? What does it mean when we speak about being a Christian steward? Well, to answer these questions, of course, we have to look at the Bible to see if Scripture has anything to say on the matter. And in the Old Testament, we find that a steward is a man or a woman who, usually a man, who is over a house. Genesis 43, we read of Joseph's steward. Remember, the brothers come and there's famine in Canaan. They come to Egypt seeking food, seeking grain, and they pay for it with silver that they've brought. And on the way home, they discover that Joseph has instructed his steward to put the silver back in the grain sacks. And so they return and they say, look, we paid for this. And somehow the silver's got back into the sacks of grain that we have taken away. So they take it back to the steward. Later on in the story, chapter 44, Joseph, of course, has the steward plant his silver cup in Benjamin's sack. And the steward is sent after them to retrieve the cup and to bring Benjamin back as a hostage. Joseph regathering his family around him. Of course, it turns out well for the family, because Joseph forgives his brothers and the family is reunited and blessed and they are fruitful in Egypt. So steward is someone who is over a house. Well, in the New Testament, there are a couple of different words that are translated steward when we translate the Bible into the English language. The first word is epitropos. We find that used in Matthew 20 and in Galatians 4. And it's a word that's used to define one to whose care or honour one has been entrusted, a kind of curator or a guardian. And we think in Matthew 20 of the vineyard foreman, the man who's been placed by the owner of the vineyard in charge of the vineyard, charged with getting a good crop, hiring the labourers, working the vineyard. Or Galatians, where we think of a child who is subject to the care of trustees until they reach the age of majority. So it could be a foreman, a curator, a guardian, a trustee. Epitropos. The second New Testament word, which we translate as steward in the English language, is oikonomos. And we find this in Luke's Gospel. Paul uses it in his letter to the Corinthians. It's written in the letter to Titus. Peter uses it in 1 Peter. And it's a word that means manager or superintendent. Jesus tells the parable in Luke 16 of the shrewd manager. Or in 1 Corinthians, Paul's letter to Corinthians, he says the apostles are given a trust and they must prove faithful overseers. Titus, again, the word is used to define an overseer. And so we have the word oikonomos, which is used to describe the function of delegated responsibility, as in the parable of the laborers or the unjust steward. So oikonomos and epitropos, two Greek words translated steward in English. And perhaps more profoundly in Scripture, we see that stewardship is the term that is used of the Christian's responsibility. It's delegated to those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ. We are all called to be stewards. If Jesus Christ is the one who has kingly authority in our lives and our household, then we have a share in exercising his authority. All things belong to Christ, and Christian believers are charged with the responsibility of acting as his executors or his stewards. And so as Christians, we are admitted to the responsibility of Christ's overruling of his world, so that stewardship, oikonomia, can be referred to similarly as a dispensation. Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians, in his letter to the Ephesians, in Colossians. He talks about this as being a gift of God, this gift of stewardship, of overseeing. And so from Scripture, it's very clear, even at a cursory glance, that Christian stewardship is both a responsibility and a gift. And being a steward is a very important biblical symbol for today, because stewardship really replaces the term ownership, and it places limits to consumption and production. Stewardship stresses the need to share the goods, the wealth, the riches of God's creation amongst all people, and the concept of wholeness becomes the guideline for measuring relationships. We are still in our world very obviously going through a time of financial crisis. And we hear of banks and football clubs and all sorts of other institutions going under and suffering and struggling to find a way forward. And of course the knock-on effect of that is very obvious in our own lives and the lives of those around us. We're in a financial crisis. And I suppose in a way we have been humbled. It's just 12 years ago or so that you'll remember there was a Jubilee 2000 campaign when the rich, seemingly powerful nations in the world were being encouraged to think seriously about the debt they were holding the poor third world countries under, and being encouraged to practice the biblical concept of the Jubilee, having that time of forgiveness of debt. And gosh, how we have been humbled over the years since ourselves, and clearly in more recent times. For we are the ones who discover that we are the countries really in debt and in financial crisis. And yet there are countries around the world much poorer than our own, and even in the midst of financial crisis, we still have this responsibility as overseers, carers for God's world, stewards of this earth, stewards of creation. Responsibility is not just to care for ourselves and our own, but the responsibility of caring for the weakest and the most fragile in society and in our world. When we look at the floods that are happening up and down these islands, they are nothing compared with the scale of the flooding that we see in other parts of the world, often the most poor parts of the world. And of course, when we are suffering flood damage in our own country, when your roof is leaking, when your goods are damaged, your focus is very much on yourself. But we're also called in Scripture to look beyond ourselves and think of our neighbours and our worldwide neighbours. And so in the midst of being humbled during this financial crisis, we also have the responsibility to go on caring and being faithful stewards, caring and sharing what we have been entrusted with the poorest, the most fragile, the most vulnerable in our world. And stewardship has a very powerful message for us. It's a very powerful message for mankind's vision of its place on earth. For stewardship reveals a set of governing principles for how human beings should behave and act in this world. It demands of the faithful an uncompromising acceptance that the resources we steward do not belong to us, but they belong to God. We may think of this church as our church, and yet the work that we're doing, the upkeep, the improvement, is not just for ourselves, but for future generations and for all those who come in and make use of these buildings. We are stewards of this building. We have it on trust for others. So stewardship is a set of governing principles for how we should behave and act in the world. And it reminds us that what we steward doesn't belong to us, but belongs to God. It speaks about conservation rather than exploitation. And of course, every time we read of stewardship or stewards in the Bible, it talks about a new covenant vision for society. And so Christian stewardship could be described as what I do and what I say when I believe. That takes us right back to James there. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Stewardship is what I do and what I say when I believe. And the world is crying out for you and me to be faithful stewards. It's crying out for its frail beauty to be tended and preserved. And God wishes to send us out as stewards into his astonishing creation. And unless we have been taken over by the Word of God and by the deed of God, and unless we have begun to be who we are called to be, then no amount of words or works will alter the image of the church or the course of this world. Stewardship is something that needs to pervade our whole being, affect our whole life. And it all starts from that change of heart. Some years ago in my previous charge in Glasgow, we undertook a stewardship campaign different to the program we're looking at just now. And it was a campaign which involved us going round the doors of our members, the members of our congregation. And so we got a little group together, a little team together, and we prayed about it, and we trained them, and we thought of how best to deliver this message of stewardship of time and talents and possessions, money. And we went round the homes of our members. And we discovered that many of the doors were open, and many of the folks in our congregation made these stewardship visitors welcome. But the sad thing that we discovered was that a few of our members in Glasgow didn't seem to want to know what was going on, nor did they want to take part. And it was their loss, and it was our loss as a congregation there in the east end of Glasgow. And the few occasions that happened, it really came to us as a reminder to all of us that we have been given a gift and a responsibility from God. We've been given the gift of faith, but there is a responsibility to feed and to nourish and to grow that faith within us, as well as sharing that faith with others. We are stewards of God's generosity to us, and we ought to worship Him and praise Him for that generosity. I wonder if you have that metaphorical stone on your pillow or the stone under your foot when you go to bed or when you rise in the morning. Do you remember to praise God for His generosity at the close and the start of the day? We are stewards of creation, and we're responsible for caring for and preserving the environment around us. And we might challenge ourselves with that. What steps am I personally taking to preserve and improve the environment around me? And then we see that we are stewards of the gospel, and we're responsible for witnessing to the gospel, to the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we might ask ourselves, what am I doing to strengthen my faith and reach others with the gospel? Am I getting into God's Word day by day? Am I reading it? Am I trying to understand it? Am I trying to apply it? Am I doing what James challenges me to do? Am I merely listening to the Word? Or am I doing what it says? What are we doing to strengthen our faith and reach others with the gospel? Then fourthly, we see that we are stewards. We're stewards of our own bodies. We're responsible for using them in God's service and for God's glory. So how do we treat our own body? What do we eat? What do we drink? What other poisons do we take into our body? When do we exercise? How do we keep our minds fit and active? Well, it's hard to do that sometimes, but it's necessary for us to try to do that so that we retain as much health as possible. And the Bible tells us again and again and again that we belong to God and that we are wholly dependent upon God. And from these two themes emerges the concept of the fatherhood of God, so perfectly developed by the Lord Jesus Himself. And from our sonhood, from our daughterhood, comes our realization of our stewardship. Now it seems to me that when stewardship is Christian, it implies that there is a master from whom all things come and to whom everything returns, in whom everything will ultimately be summed up. And the way in which those of us who call ourselves His disciples have looked after and have cared for what is committed to us will come under judgment. And the fundamental charge which each one of us has to keep is the charge and care of our own personality. We were created by God and set in this world to perform God's will. And those of us who have encountered Christ and have experienced Jesus' touch in our lives, the touch of His Holy Spirit bringing us to life, will be more alert to this responsibility than others will be. It's not simply a responsibility to keep our body healthy and our mind active, or to go through certain spiritual exercises in order to prepare for the transition of death. We have been given a charge which views us in relation to the world in which we are set, the people among whom we live and move and have our being. And so we began by asking, what is Christian stewardship? What is Christian stewardship? Well, we might conclude that Christian stewardship is first of all a person. A Christian steward is a person who sees himself or herself as a servant of God, sent in a limited period of time with a life to live and a character to form and with a real task to do for God in neighbourliness of action and in concerned care for the physical, mental and spiritual well-being of all others sharing this earth. That kind of person cannot remain a good steward or shut him or herself up in the narrowness of a selfish world. You cannot remain a good steward and forgo fellowship with other believers. You cannot remain a good steward and forgo the worship of God. So to be a good steward, you must look beyond and share the vision of God for the establishment of His kingdom here on earth. You must look with the eyes of God's compassion upon the agony of the world and the disasters which seem to overtake humanity again and again. And to be a good steward, you must be prepared to stand with God, to be His hands and His feet and His heart of love, to help where help is needed. And in doing that, you will discover that help is given through the use of your body, through the application of your mind, through the devotion of your talents, and through the release of power by the giving of your money. We are accountable for all that God has entrusted to us. And until God asks these things from us, we have the free use of everything entrusted to our care. But we are stewards, not proprietors. And to that end, we should render them not as instruments of righteousness unto sin, but as instruments of righteousness unto God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.